Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Did you
How are you?
already begin?
No, there's nobody here physically, so I was waiting for them or for somebody to come online. But
Okay.
we'll give it a few more minutes.
Yeah, I enjoy this.
Jamie, I'm going to start without anybody here physically. So we're reading from the Parasha Bereshit, and it's Bereshit A, which is the volume one of the Sulam commentary published by the Center. We're reading section six, which is Let There Be a Firmament. And I'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Hudcha Berichu, Ishkintei Bidchilu. Urchimu, urchimu, udchilu le'ata, shem yud ke bevav ke, be'yehudah shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah. Vayomer Elohim, this is verse 44. Yehi rakia betoch amayim v'gomer, Haka bifrat raza leafrasha ben mayin ilayin betatae beraza dishmala haka machloket beraza dishmala diad haka raza diamina uvecha haka Uraza dishmala ukin kach askiu machloket bein da liyamina yamina ihu shalema dekola ukin kach liyamina ketiv kola deha beya tal yayo Kol shalimu, kad itar shemala, itar machloket, ufahu machloket, itaka, esha, terug zadinafe, mineya vehahiyo, machloket gehinom, Begehinom bishmala, bismala, itar ve'itabak. And Elohim said, there is a firmament in the midst of the waters. This phrase alludes to a detailed reform of the separation of the upper from the lower waters, according to the secret of the left. Here the dispute according to the secret of the left occurred. Until this point, referring to the first day, reference is made to the right. But on the second day, reference is to the secret of the governing, or the left. Because of this, a great dispute broke out on the second day between the two sides. The left wanted to cancel the governing power of the right entirely, while the right wanted to cancel the governing power of the left entirely. The right, which is the secret of Chesed and the first day, is the perfection of all. Because of this, everything was written in the right on the first day. This means that all the 7 days, which are the seven Sephirot, are emerged in it and are alluded to in it, because every perfection depends on the right side. When the rule of the left was aroused, its dispute with the right began, and the fire of anger in that dispute became fierce. From this dispute, Gehinom was created. So Gehinom was awakened and created by the left and cleaved to it, which means that whoever wants to strengthen the left shall fall into Gehinom, which originates from it. Any questions?
No question.
Okay, well, I'm just going to give some quick comments. commentary. The right and left represents the sharing and the receiving. And the firmament was, in the Torah, comes on the second day.
Mm-hmm.
So the second day is related to the left. And this conflict between the right and the left is also parts of the, you know, is manifest, or not manifest, but described in the Midrash when it talks about the war of the angels. Because basically, who wants to be in ascendant? Who wants to be in control? And, you know, the Creator is the only entity. And I can't really call the Creator an entity, but the only consciousness where there are all three columns within Him. In our world, we take the right and the left and put them together. We have the atoms in our world that have a proton, an electron, and a neutron. And the neutron, when we split that atom, we find that the neutron is composed of a proton and an electron together in unity. This is the central column. But it's not really the central column consciousness, because they're both there and they're constantly at odds with each other. Yet the right, the proton, will always be slightly stronger. The electron has no mass, and the proton has about a level of mass. The angel wars were along those same lines, because the angels were created in the two columns as well. There were sharing angels, right column, and then there were receiving angels, left column. And who was going to be in ascendance was their machloket. A machloket is a search for truth, a search for what is the truth, without an agenda as to define the truth. And that's, the human beings tend to have an agenda every time they look for truth. And the Torah is teaching us to look for truth, search for truth, but not with an agenda. When you have an agenda, you will not see the truth. It will pass you by. Verse 45.
Machloket shemala v'yamina u'ahu Machloket v'itar v'yah shemala Nafak v'yah gehinom v'itevak v'yah Amuda de'emsaita de'ihu yom Talita al benayu, be'afresh machloket, be'askem tir litrein, sitrin v'gehinon, nachet letata usmala, itkalel be'amina, v'chawa shlama b'kola.
In his wisdom, Moshe looked into this and learned about the work of creation. In the work of creation, there was a dispute between the left and the right. And in that dispute, which the left provoked, Gehinom was created, and Gehinom held on to the left. The central pillar, which is Tiferet, entered between them on the third day, ending the dispute and bringing the two sides to an agreement. So Gehinom removed itself from the left and descended below. The left joined the right, and there was peace everywhere. Any questions?
No.
Well, the commentary I would make here is that the same, the wars of the angels, it's this is a metaphor. This verse is a metaphor for those wars. And we have lots of stories about, you know, where did the fallen angels come from?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about Azazel and Azazel on Yom Kippur, which are the names of certain fallen angels. They don't have specific meanings, although there are ways to analyze the names. But these are all part of our Midrashim, and this is a little bit confusing, this pasuk, because why did Gehinom go to below?
Yeah.
Why didn't it let go of the left column and accept the right? Of course, we know that Gehinom is hell, and hell serves the purpose of cleansing. But that's not really being expressed here, and so the question occurs, you know, why wouldn't Gehinom let the right column, let go of the left column and move to the center? Because that's essentially what the physical world does, what Malchut does. It starts out when it's unfulfilled or it's feeling in lack. It's in the left column, and it's in judgment. And when it's fulfilled, it moves to the center. So why wouldn't that have occurred with Gehinom? But the question is asked without yet an answer. Go ahead.
It feels as if there's a universal principle of things wanting to strike a balance.
Before the sin of Adam, that would have been true.
Mm-hmm.
But after the sin of Adam, the left column, the desire to receive has become that selfish frame. And so it doesn't look for balance. It has to be a conscious decision to strive for balance. And the Torah, all of our sages throughout the generations have always told us, search and strive for balance. Try to follow the middle path. Which is not necessarily an easy path to follow, and to remain with it. The 46th pasuk. Kegavna da machloket Korach b'yacharon Shema ala b'yamina Yistakal Moshe B'yovada di reshit Amar li itchaze le'afrasha machloket bein yemina lismala eshtadal liaskama bein ayhu vila ba'e shemala vi'adka korach betu kveya. A similar dispute occurred between Korach and Aaron, the left against the right. Moshe studied the creation and said, I am one able to eliminate the dispute between right and left. Moshe tried his best to reconcile them, but the left did not want to be reconciled. So Korach became stronger and overcame Aaron. And it's no coincidence that we're reading these verses and studying this during the week of Korach. Excuse me. So are there any questions?
No.
What's your question?
I didn't have one.
Okay, I thought I heard you said yes.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So the Korach, well, I shouldn't say Korach. The left column, one of the names, translations of the word Geburah, representing the left column.
Mm-hmm.
is judgment, of course, but it's also power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the left column will continue to exist after the Mashiach,
mm-hmm.
because that left column is what causes the bringing of children. Without that left column, passion would not exist, and the differences between male and female would override the desire to keep the mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
It takes to be stronger in a physical sense, in the sense of fire being overcoming water, because if
mm-hmm.
you put water, water evaporates. So
mm-hmm.
all the metaphors that are in the Zohar are also part of our world, and we can bring these metaphors to understand why the world operates the way it does.
Mm-hmm.
The 47th Pasuk, and this will be the last one we'll do today.
Okay.
Amar vaday gehinom v'tokfa demachloket semala yitzderich le'itabaka ula ba'e le'itabaka le'ela u'itkala b'yamina v'day yechot l'tata v'tokfa derugza.
Moshe said, assuredly, because of the power of the disagreement of the left, Gehinnom would cling to it, just as it was in the works of creation. Korach did not wish to be attached above, only to the amendment of holiness, and join the right, like the left on high, so assuredly he shall descend below.
Down into
Gehinnom, because of the fierceness of his anger, as happened in the works of creation. Gehinnom came out and cleaved to the left. Moshe knew that with the strength of Korach's anger, Korach would descend to Gehinnom and be attached to it. Are there any questions?
Not really. But I just wanted to ask, sometimes I try to pick out words.
Good.
Is Moses spelled Mem Shin He?
Yes.
How's it spelled? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And when you permute that mm-hmm. word, you have Mem He Shin, which is the
mm-hmm.
fifth of the 72 names, the name dealing with healing. And if you permute another way, it becomes
mm-hmm.
Hey, is Hashem. So you'll find it to be a very powerful sequence of letters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is not Shin Hey is not Moshe's name, is not a Hebrew word. And
is it Egyptian?
Well, that's what they the experts say, it's Egyptian, and that Batya named him.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharaoh's daughter who took him out of the river named him.
Yeah.
And that it means in Egyptian that I drew him forth from water. But I have the permutation into Hebrew with all of these different sequences I just went through, I'm not comfortable with that explanation, but I
mm-hmm.
have nothing better one is at this point.
Mm-hmm. How do you know it's not a Hebrew name?
Well, on the one simple level, if you look it up in the dictionary, it will just tell you that both of them Mem Shin He is the name of Moshe.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look for a root, you don't find the root.
Okay.
So, if we look at this verse, it's really very clear, which is why there's not a lot of questions right now, but there's always room for questions, and without asking questions, there's no vessel. There's no vessel to receive the light that's here. But we had asked the question earlier as to why Gehinnom did not let go of the left. And it doesn't really tell us, but it relates to that question. Because of the power of the disagreement of the left, Gehinnom is unable, it says should cling, but it's unable to let go of the left. Because like connects to like. Affinity is based on likes, not opposites, as we talk about romance being against opposites. But in reality, in the affinity is means like coming to like. So the power of, which was Korach's, but the power of fire, which is the left column, that is what it wants. Gehinnom. So its source is left. And because of the strength of it, it's unable to let go. So it into the lower levels. And then Moshe, being central column at this point, when he became the leader of the nation, he started out as right column, wanting to help people, but actually started out as left column, being a Levite. And then he transformed himself through the 40 years of being away from Egypt, transformed himself. The right column, and had he not, there are a number of things he did that Hashem transferred the priesthood that would have been his to Aaron. But to say, so he became the central column because you need to be in that balance. Moshe understood cause and effect very clearly. And so when Korach refused to reconcile with Aaron, he knew that, the verse says, he had to fall into the depths in the gate of Nome. And so he called earthquake. But during this week, we're able to take control of the earthquake. So you need to hear that Torah reading this Saturday morning. It's important. Because this is the week that we are able to take control of natural disasters.
Okay.
So it's your business to go online or to go to the synagogue, best way. Any other questions before we call it an evening?
No.
Okay, my class tonight will be the
now,
second class.
Did you say to read that portion of the Torah?
Yes, I told you. I said to hear it by going to the synagogue. If that's not possible, to go to the places that read the Torah online. Or possibility is to read it yourself if you have
What is the section in the Torah? What is
it's
it called?
The Parasha of Korach, and it describes the argument between Korach and Moshe and Aaron, and it describes that after Aaron's staff grew the almonds, indicating that it had taken a dead piece of wood and resurrected it to grow life. Happened, Korach still refused to let go. And so, for an earthquake. Actually, what he said is that that Korach would have to die in an unusual way so that the people would know that Korach did not have God's favor. And so, Moshe told the people to separate from Korach and his followers.
Oh, this is the one where Korach and his followers were swallowed up in an earthquake.
Correct. And that's what you'll be reading this week.
So it's essentially the same thing in the Torah as it is in here that we're reading.
Well, we're reading the verse that says there's a firmament. And as we read further, we'll discover what is the firmament.
Right. What I'm trying to say is,
What the Zohar is explaining, and what we really need to realize, whatever happened in creation continues to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything repeats it. It's not that it even repeats itself. Anytime there's a creation or a destruction, it has to follow the four phases of creation. And we've spoken that you needed to listen to those classes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. My question really was, so in the Torah, it's the same segment as it is in Zohar.
It's 8 o'clock.
Yes, in the Torah, we're studying the Zohar on the first chapter 1.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
And as Zohar is bringing a more human metaphor, that of Korach, Moshe, and Aaron.
Yes.
Representing the three columns of creation.
Right.
Representing the upper waters and the lower waters and the firmament of Genesis. These are two metaphors because it helps us understand it if you bring it to a lower level of closer to mankind.
Yeah. That wasn't my question, though, Hanok, okay?
What is your question?
I'm just concerned, since I don't know the Torah at all, I'm just concerned that I won't be able to find the right part. Is there a part?
For this coming Saturday, it's in the book of Numbers. And it's the portion
and it's
titled
Korach. Yeah, got that.
And if you read the English, you'll see a place where it says the earth split up.
Yes.
The earth split and swallowed the followers of Korach. And that place is the meditation for taking control of the natural disasters of the world.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to talk tomorrow or not?
Yes.
Okay.
And good evening, but I will be teaching a class tonight.
It's 7:30.
At 7 West Coast time, and it will be the class
10.
Number 2 on eating as a tikkun.
Yes.
So you have a beautiful. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.